And this is Martin Strong in for Shane, and it's time now for a very special edition of What the Hell Should We Watch This Weekend? And I say it's a very special edition because Steve Stebbing, our movie expert, just got out of the theater, and he ran to be with us. And Steve is here because he just watched the brand new James Cameron Avatar movie, The Way of Water. And Steve, thank you so much for doing that and being the first person to tell us about this.
Yeah, no problem. I should sound more out of breath, like that I ran.
Yeah, exactly.
But like literally, it was 25 minutes ago. 25, 27 minutes ago that the credits rolled and I booked it out of the theater, got into my ride, and now I'm here.
Oh, well, that is awesome. Well, before we get your take on it, let's hear a little bit from Avatar, The Way of Water.
Treat them as our brothers and sisters. Teach them our ways.
Keep up, forest boy.
If you want to live here, you have to ride.
Wow. So it's been 13 years in the making. Mm-hmm. Steve, you just watched it. I want you to tell me, how do you feel? Before you tell us anything specific about the new Avatar movie, tell us how you feel.
I feel like I was just in another incredible immersive 3D experience again, because I don't really like the 3D format, but I made a point to do it with this because I feel like James Cameron inherently gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Like he the thing with Cameron and anybody that knows him as a filmmaker and just as just a dude, he loves technology, so, and he just wants to push it to its limits, and I really think that Avatar is pushing that 3D experience to the limits. But I will say that the high frame rate really messes with my eyes at some point, and it feels like it's someone pressed fast forward for a second. Like, that's kind of what it looks like to me visually, but I mean, stunning through and through.
Right. So as an experience, as a movie going experience, it was a success.
I think so. It's long. Like, it's 3 hours and 10 minutes. Like, my screening started at 7:15 and I had to book it home to make it for this spot. So just to put that in kind of perspective, but it's entertaining, thoroughly entertaining. And I mean, when you bet on Cameron, you generally win. I can't name a bad experience when it comes to James Cameron's work.
Right. And so you're obviously a big fan of the first one.
I dug the first one a lot. I do equate to it being Smurf Pocahontas in Ferngully, because it really is. Like, it's not like, as original as it looks, like once you get down to the meat and potatoes of it, it is kind of derivative.
It's Pocahontas, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jake Sully is John Smith and all that kind of, it's like, exactly. It's like New World. But I don't know. It still works. I think it works better on the big screen than it does in a home theater. And I'm talking about the first movie. And it might come down to the big screen is the best way to watch Way of Water and get the ultimate experience from, because I don't think it's going to have the same oomph to it when you watch it at home.
Right. And one of the reasons why it took 13 or so years to make is because James Cameron was waiting for the technology to catch up to his vision of this movie. And one of the things they always talk about is underwater motion capture. And a lot of this movie's underwater, right? Was it worth it?
Absolutely. There's sequences under the water where I almost wanted to reach out and touch the things that were coming at me. Like, it feels that close and that real. And like the first movie got the burning of Pandora's forests with the embers and the smoke and got that so incredibly well done, that's exactly what he did with the underwater sequences. And yeah, like I said, it's just an absolutely gorgeous and flawless film to look at.
And Sigourney Weaver is in this movie again. And
yes,
I can hardly remember the first one. I remember I enjoyed the experience, but didn't she die? Her character die in the first one?
She does. And to explain Sigourney Weaver's part in this, like, she does play Grace again in little flashbacks, but she's also a new character in this one. And given that this movie is really not out until tomorrow, I don't think I should get into too much detail of exactly who she is in it, but know that she's a new character and she's a younger character.
Interesting. And I guess because of the technology, they can mess with all that stuff.
Absolutely. Like, I honestly, besides, besides Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, Stephen Lang, and Sigourney Weaver as the Na'vi, I don't really know, like, I don't really know who else was in it, because I didn't really pay attention to the casting list, and I didn't stay for the credits, so I had to run home for this spot. But I'm not even sure, because it just all blends so seamlessly that the Na'vi are very very Na'vi. They're not very human at all.
Yeah, I can't remember any of the actors really in the first one other than Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, I think CCH Pounder was in it too. I think she was like the leader of the Na'vi in the first film. I believe her character gets killed off in that one, so she didn't come back.
So, I mean, the first one was like ridiculously profitable. It crossed the $1 billion mark. I was just reading this. It crossed the $1 billion mark, the first Avatar movie, within 19 days after it was released internationally. Within 19 days, it made $1 billion. So do you think this one is headed for the same fate?
I think it is going to earn that $1 billion, because I think the curiosity for that whole audience that bought into the first film and bought into it in theaters are curious to see where the story is going to go. But now, I mean, there's a new champ. I think it's Avengers Endgame is now the new champ. So, I mean, Avatar was surpassed a couple times in the years since 2009. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it could become the new champ again. But, when it comes to Cameron, all bets are off, I think.
Yeah, so since this segment is called What the Hell Should We Watch This Weekend, I mean, should people brave those lineups? I mean, the lineups would be insane, and but they have different ways to buy tickets now. Should people go out and see it right away?
Yes, and see it in 3D.
Yeah, so definitely see it in 3D. So that's great. Well, so appreciative that you ran from the theater after seeing Avatar: The Way of Water, and it's definitely the movie event, I guess, of the Christmas season. But there are other movies, right? Some new movies like Bardo.
Silverio Gamba. Periodista, documentalista, / artista.
So this is Bardo, False Chronicle of a Handful of Truths.
That's right, yes.
And this is the guy that made The Revenant, right?
Yes.
The movie.
Yes, he made, he is an auteur, if you will. I mean, The Revenant, Birdman, Amaris Paros, Babel. He's got so many great films under his belt. Alejandro González Iñárritu. But this is an introspective film, if you could ever say it is, because basically it's about a journalist, a documentarian who is on the verge of some kind of identity crisis and decides to return to his native country of Mexico to kind of find his roots, get regrounded, get reacclimated, and find his center again, as I think we all need to at a certain point. And only the way that Iñárritu can do it, because it's beautifully shot. And it's amazing that this is his first film since The Revenant, which won Leo DiCaprio a Best Actor, his first Best Actor award.
Right. Leo DiCaprio just gets brutalized in that entire movie.
I mean, Martin, I saw the press screening of The Revenant about 2 months before it came out. And I had to sit on my words because they screened it for awards contention and everything. And I had to sit on my review, but I was just like, nobody's prepared for this movie. Nobody's prepared for this movie. Wow. And it is a ride. It is wild. I don't think there's anything like The Revenant, really.
Right. And also opening a Canadian film, Drinkwater.
Uh-huh. You should make friends with her.
What, make friends with Danny? Are you kidding me? We can dance. Look at her, she's a total babe.
Sign up, sir, this week, and I would love to see you as a competitor.
Okay, well, I will think about it.
This is not stupid This is stupid
Feels like a Dunkin'.
This is not a Dunkin'.
And this is Canadian Eric McCormack, who was in Will and Grace. And this looks like a fun one.
Yeah, not only is it Canadian, but it was also filmed in a town in BC called Penticton, which is where I am calling from right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, very cool. So close to home.
It's literally in my backyard. A very John Hughes-esque film, a coming-of-age film about a guy named Mike Drinkwater, who is basically kind of floundering in his own kind of identity, trying to figure out who he is, until a young woman crosses his pathway, and their friendship starts to grow even beyond the constraints that his dirtbag father, played by Eric McCormack, puts him in. And the main actor in this one, Daniel Doheny, such a great performance out of him. And it's really good to see a Canadian film that you're not just touting because it's a Canadian film and you're trying to have that CanCon stuff out there and try to elevate it. It's actually a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks fun. And before we get to the Schiff's AV Club, I want to talk about what's on television and a show you pointed out that I saw the little thing on Netflix. I don't understand what this show is about, but it looks funny. Who Killed Santa? A Murderville murder mystery.
I am here doing Murderville.
I have not been given a script.
What I know is next to nothing.
I think I'm going to have to figure out who the murderer is, which I'm delighted by.
Santa Claus is dead.
So that's Jason Bateman.
That's right. Yeah, Jason Bateman's in this one. Maya Rudolph's in this one. And Martin, who killed Santa? That's the that's the question at the center of this one. Will Arnett is your lead cop in this one. Terry Seattle. And if you haven't seen the first season of Murderville, which I believe is 6 episodes, it is must see stuff. If you like this one, I implore you to continue on the journey, because basically the only person with the script is the crew that are making the film and Will Arnett. The guests have no idea what's going on. Everything is improv and off the cuff and reactionary. And some of the most hysterical things I've seen on television this year have been part of Murderville.
That's Who Killed Santa? A Murderville murder mystery on Netflix. And Steve Stebbing is our guest. He just saw the brand new Avatar movie.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.